The following podcast contains graphic content and is for adults only. Thanks for listening.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
There, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week on the podcast, we have a story from queersplaining podcaster and non-binary trans person, Kelly Wright. How's your week going? What are you doing to get through this thing we're all enduring together, this global pandemic? Each week on the podcast, this part is called The Ramble. And in the ramble, I talk about what's going on in my life. And when I came up with this concept a few years ago, it made total sense. I spent a lot of time going out to sex parties. I was invited to kink events. I produced live events. I had conversations almost every day with people. If they weren't in person, I was connecting with people all the time. And that gives you a lot of new things to talk about. And that's not what's happening now. But I will tell you what I'm doing right now to get through this, because I don't want my social skills to have evaporated by the time I'm back in person with people again. And I want to spend this time not wasting the entire year. It feels like a waste, doesn't it? So I've joined Toastmasters, which is to improve your public speaking. And each week you get in front of people on Zoom. And I will tell you, it happens Monday morning at 7 a.m. And that is a rough time to be articulate. So I have to get up early. I have to put some makeup on. I have to sit there with 20 or so other people who are all working on their public speaking skills. And this week, I had my first speech. I have done these little things that are called table topics. And table topics are when they throw something impromptu at you. And you are supposed to just kind of come up with a 2 to 3 minute answer to the question. If you could do anything this summer, what would it be? You just received a major award. What's your acceptance speech? Just opportunities to talk without being interrupted, which is an important part of public speaking. Not having people interrupt you. Being able to complete a thought. And do that thing that we do on stage, which is, here's where I started, here's where I ended. What do these things have to do with each other? How do you wrap up the thought that you started? That's what we do in storytelling a lot. And you know what I'm talking about. You've started a story, you've started talking about something, and then realized the direction you headed off, you had digressed so much, you couldn't even remember how to get back to where you started. And why did you choose that place to start at all? It made no sense, right? Unless you go around and you complete the circle. You complete the thought. And it's good practice for that because we're not getting enough opportunities to talk to each other. Clearly, because even though I have nothing to talk about, somehow the ramble keeps getting longer. I think I'm lonely, you guys. Let's get back to what I was talking about. So Monday, I had my first speech, my first prepared speech. It was to be about who I am, to introduce myself to the group. And I will tell you, if you want to see me freeze, it's going to be if I'm talking about myself, being personal in front of people who are not perverts. The voice in my head, the very loud voice, sounds a little bit like my mother, is always like, oh God, why are you the person you are? It's just so distasteful. Just be normal. I got that a lot. And so having to be normal on Monday morning at 7 a.m. is intimidating as fuck to me. so I had to give my first speech on Monday at 7 a.m. I got up at 5, I polished it, I practiced it, and still I had that fear of public speaking thing. I had that, it's not about whether I can deliver a speech. It's not about being fearful of talking in front of people. It's about being fearful of talking in front of muggles. Muggles are people who are not us, not perverts. You know, Harry Potter expressed that quite well. And so I had that clamoring fear in my chest when the time came when they did my introduction. And I got through it. I don't feel like I did it perfectly by any means. But I did get through it. I was only 9 seconds over on the time that I was allotted. It's very hard to try and stay within the time allotted. And I got a lot of great feedback. I watched people who were muted on Zoom start laughing at points, kind of losing their shit. That felt good. I got a lot of applause that you couldn't hear because it was muted. And they did a review. And I was reviewed at the end to hear what I did well and what I needed to improve. Eye contact was where I needed to improve. It's Zoom, y'all. Yeah, that's going to be an area we need to improve in. It's Zoom. I got a top score for the content being interesting and engaging. And then last night, my friend, who is part of the leadership team at that Toastmasters group, told me that they were already talking about how I was going to be one of the people who was involved in international speeches. Because even though this was my very first speech and I clearly talk on stage, that I had what it takes. Toastmasters, you guys, I've never been to Toastmasters. This is brand new to me. It was interesting to see how they do things. I'd never joined because I thought it was corporate and boring. But it's a way to keep my performance chops up. It's a way to talk an allotted amount of time, which COVID is seriously fucking with. My ability to stick to a time schedule and talk for the allotted amount of time is not where I want it to be. So I'm going to keep polishing. I'm going to get better. I am working on my online coaching program. I am working on my online storytelling course. They're not ready, but I'm working for the future. I'm thinking about what's next. It's going to be 2021. I'm pretty sure a lot of these things won't be coming together by the end of this year. But that's what you use the time you have if you're stuck and you're sequestered and you're quarantined, right? You make the best of it. I'm doing my best. I'm fighting the waves of depression just like you are. I'm bound and determined. I'm going to get through this. And it's going to be better. Things are going to change, not just in a negative way. Things are going to change in a positive way. And I feel like that is within my control. And I feel like if I make great use of this time, then that could happen. I hope you're making the best use of this time. I'd love to have you send me an email, send me a message on Instagram. Let me know how you are making use of your time. I love getting messages from you. I woke up this morning to an email, and the email was from someone who wanted to make my dreams come true. I got an email from someone who heard me talk recently on the Body Podcast about a story I was looking for, content I was looking for, a specific fetish, a story I'd always wanted and had never had. And we're going to have it at the next Body live stream. If you don't have your tickets yet for Saturday, August 15th, the theme is What is Kinky, you are going to miss out on stories that will blow your fucking mind. I mean, I am learning so much already. So please make sure you go, you get your tickets. You can find a ticket link in the show notes. You can find it on social media. You can find it on our website. Get your tickets as soon as possible because this show's kind of turning into a dream come true. I love finding these stories, true personal stories that are stuff we've always wondered about. We've wanted to hear a person tell their own story. And I got it. So get your tickets as soon as possible for Saturday, August 15th. I will see your smiling face, along with the furries and the drag queens and the exhibitionist and all the other people who are going to be gathering together in community. It's on Zoom, and you can be anywhere and join us at Body. We have this brand new thing called the Voyeur Ticket. And if you buy the Voyeur Ticket, it means you get the behind the scenes, you can have private chats, you can see all the performers, you can see what's happening throughout the entire show, and you can communicate with the storytellers. You can make new friends. You can get invited to orgies. I don't know what you're going to do, but Voyeur or Exhibitionist is totally the way to go. One last thing. We are doing a brand new thing on the live stream. You know how I've been doing the Butt Plug Club? Well, my goal was to do something really different with the Butt Plug Club this time. I have had our friends at Dirty Masks create custom Dixie and Butt Plug face masks. They're so fucking cute. The illustration is amazing. And it comes with a holographic butt plug sticker and a full-size bottle of Uberlube. Oh, in addition, you also get to be a panelist for the live stream. So you get to dress up, you get to show off, you can wear your face mask, you can use your Uberlube. I taught you on the live stream last time how to give a wet Dixie, so you got your Uberlube, you could do it. Buy Butt Plug Club as soon as possible. That's the exhibitionist level. It means you're a panelist. It means we're going to ship stuff to you. You're going to get prizes. How fun is that? See you on the live stream on Saturday, August 15th. How about a little backstory before your story? Once upon a time, I was on tour in fall of 2019. Remember a time touring before 2020? No, we don't remember that. It's been about 80 years ago. But I was on tour, went on tour to Chicago, and I had been working with storytellers to put together the Chicago show. We had a really great show. And there were several stories that I just rubbed my hands together in glee and said, I cannot wait to put that one on the podcast. Well, when I got home and listened to it, there was nothing. Something happened to the audio files because the sound engineer did something completely wrong at the venue. We lost those stories, and I was grieving it. But back in April, we decided to launch a live stream. And the first thing I did was contact this storyteller to say, look, I really wanted that story. And can we do it again? So we changed it up a little bit for the live stream. It's pretty much the exact same story. But live stream's different than live on stage, different than podcast. And now you're finally gonna get to hear that story. So let me tell you about this week's storyteller. Callie Wright is a non-binary trans person, a freelance audio producer, a super okay roller derby player, a coffee lover, and producer of the Queer Splaining podcast. They often think it sucks that queer and trans stories are often told by or for queer and trans folks, so that's what they spend most of their time doing. Stories. This storyteller is Callie Wright.
So my wife and I got our vaginas together 5 days apart. We're in San Francisco. It's 2 years ago in July. We're sitting in the waiting room waiting for Celeste, my wife, to get called back. We snap a selfie because today is the last day of the time before, right? It's all different after this. It's way too early in the morning. We both look it. She's still my beautiful girl, though. Soft smile, eyes the color of oak trees. Eventually, they call her back. They get the gown put on. They walk her back, and it's her turn. And I knew that 5 days later, I was going to be making that same walk. I was 10. The first time I questioned my gender, I was 28 before I figured out what that really meant. I was driving home from work one night. I'd gotten off late, way too late again. I was feeling a whole lot like the proverbial square peg being pounded mercilessly into the round hole, with the feeling that the world around me didn't seem to care very much that my brains were being bashed in the process. And I suddenly became viscerally aware of two facts. One, I was driving 70 miles per hour. And two, there was a ditch on the other side of the highway. And I thought to myself, you know what I could do? I could drive myself into that ditch. I could kill myself and it would look like an accident. No one would ever realize I did it on purpose. The thing is, there are lots of people who have thoughts like that. And often they don't know where those thoughts come from. But I knew where those thoughts came from. It came from the same place that had me raiding my girlfriend's closets at night, from the same place that had me simultaneously excited and ashamed to imagine myself as the one being fucked in the porn that I watched. At some point in my life, I'd become aware that transgender people existed, and the brain synapses that connected that abstract concept to my own self-identity started to fire. I worked up the courage to put the word transgender into Google, and then it became real. It existed outside my head for the first time, and I thought to myself, I gotta figure out what's going on. So I called my friend Min. Min is someone that I had a short but very intense romantic and sexual relationship with. And Min was the kind of woman you never call a girl. Big, gigantic, commanding presence, the kind of laugh that fills a room regardless of how big the room is in. And we had stayed friends after our relationship. So I confided in her and I told her about all of the things that I'd been struggling with. And she said, yeah, absolutely. This is a thing we got to figure out. And so she lived a couple hours north, but a few days later, she was able to make it down. She came to my place and she bought it, and she brought an outfit for me. This black pencil skirt, black top, black and white striped cardigan, red heels. She did my hair and makeup. I looked so classy, just like a pinup girl. And it was the first time in my life I looked in the mirror and saw a reflection that made sense. And then she fucked me senseless. So whenever Min and I got together, sex of one kind or another was on the menu, and she brought a dildo and used it to fuck me in the ass. And it was the first time sex ever really truly made sense to me. There was a party, my penis was not invited, and I did not miss it even a little bit. And so that's when I knew, all right, y'all, this thing has gotta go. And the thing is, gender dysphoria is a sneaky motherfucker. It creeps up on you when you least expect it, and it will have you in bed, crying, sobbing, shaking uncontrollably. It feels like a fucking cheese grater is scraping your skin off. About a year after this, I'm having a scene where I'm laying in bed, shaking, sobbing, crying uncontrollably, holding onto my Snorlax pillow for dear life in this small bedroom in my cheap apartment with the mattress on the floor, with the cardboard boxes for a nightstand. And I thought to myself, you know what I can do? I can call 911, tell them I'd hurt myself. They would send an ambulance. And as soon as I see it pull into the parking lot, I can cut this fucking thing off. And the paramedics would be close enough, they could stop the bleeding, and I'd end up okay, I'd be safe, and I would never have to feel this way again. That's the scariest thought I've ever had in my life. And at that point, I knew it was very, very much time to get serious. And so 2 years and a whole shit ton of paperwork later, I said goodbye to my penis forever on July 31st, 2017. I was given 8 weeks before it would be safe to attempt anything sexual again. I woke up from my surgery, groggy, confused, in pain, and 100% sure I had made the correct decision. Now, 8 weeks is a long time, but there were moments. I remember my first checkup appointment. They take all the sutures out and the packing, and it's really painful and dramatic. Then the doctor leaves the room and I'm waiting for a nurse to come in to talk to me before I leave. And I have a moment and it's quiet. And I'm able to just sit in the room and just feel my body for the first time. And it felt so, so right. And again, 8 weeks is a long time, but I had a lot to occupy me, right? I dilating, cleaning, shower, go to the bathroom, clean yourself up, video games and Star Trek here and there. And then it comes time. My vagina and I had our first date 8 weeks to the day after surgery, and it didn't go well. I had just woken up from sleep. Celeste was at work. I was laying in bed and I thought to myself, today is the day. So I got up, I washed my hands, laid down a towel, I grabbed some lube, and I was nervous. It was in the back of my head the whole time that 1-2% of people lose all sexual function after this is over. Some people have to wait 6 months, some people wait a year, some people wait longer, and again, some people never get it back. So I lubed up my fingers, I reached down, I stuck them in my vagina, and nothing happened. And I was bummed and I was scared. So scared that I didn't try again for 5 months after that. And 5 months later, I tried it again and again, nothing happened. And I just did my best to forget the whole thing. I'd traded one kind of pain for another kind of pain, and the dysphoria was gone, but the sex was gone too, and I didn't know what to do. And then finally, about a year later, I was out, I came home, Celeste was still in bed, and I thought to myself, gosh, you know, if she's in bed this late in the day, she must not be feeling good. She gets migraines. Maybe she's got a headache. So I go in, I'm like, you know what? I'm tired. A nap sounds like a good idea. So I go in my room, take all my clothes off, I climb into bed, and it's then that I realize my wife is not laying in bed because she is tired or sick or has a headache or isn't feeling good. While I was out, she was taking the opportunity to get to know her new vagina. And she turns to me and looks me in the eye and says, "Your wife is horny." Oh, no. And jumps on top of me. And at this point, something snaps in me. I'm like, you know what? I've suffered enough for this fucking thing. It is time. I am done fucking around. It is time. So we got the vibrators. We got the lube. Neither of us knew what the hell we were doing. Vaginas don't come with manuals, remember? And so I'm using her vibrator on her, and I'm just like, I kind of know how to use this thing. I'd turn it one way and she'd get that, you know, that look that on her face that, oh yeah, this is the right thing to do. And then she would go, you know, a little faster on me, and it's like, oh, holy shit, this is sexual sensation. It's been like a year. I've almost forgotten what this feels like. And we're experimenting and we're communicating, and it's the best thing in the world. And it just fades away. We were both tense. We were both nervous. We'd gotten kind of overstimulated, and it was just kind of time to stop. And we were a little bummed, but at this point we knew it was possible, right? So we cried, we had our big emotional moment, we hugged, and we were like, yeah, like let's do this again soon. 'Cause like, we know this is a thing now. And a few days later, she had D&D night. My wife had D&D night with her friends. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have the living room to myself for 3 to 4 hours. I've got dragons of my own to slay. So let's fucking do the thing, right? So I grabbed a towel. I grabbed the lube. I grabbed my vibrator. I found some really, really sweet bondage porn. And I decided it was time to go to town. And so I start slow, right? Because getting overstimulated is what fucked this up for me last time. So I start really slow, very gentle, and I'm feeling it again. Okay. Sexual sensation. Good. This is good. I like this. I start going a little bit slower. I turn the setting up on my vibrator a little bit more pressure on my clit, a little bit. No, that's too much. Back it off a little bit. That's okay. And it starts to build, and it's that familiar feeling. Again, I'd almost forgotten what this felt like, and it builds and it builds. And then finally it happens. It washes over me like the ocean at high tide. My body tenses. I can't move. There's fireworks going off in my head. I can't breathe. I'm grunting like a fucking Klingon. And then just as quickly as it came on, it washed away. And with it washed away a year of fear and tension and uncertainty. It was 3 days shy of my 1 year vaginiversary, and I was back.
Was Burning Gold by Christina Perry. I am so grateful to the people who are supporting Body on Patreon. It's totally keeping us going. It's the only thing that's keeping me from living in a cardboard box right now. Because COVID, because quarantine, because pandemic, because it's going to be a long time before live shows are back. And Patreon supporters are not just supporting us financially, we've built this weird little community over there. Like tonight I got a message from one of my Patreon supporters who said, Dix, can you send me your address and what's your favorite kind of cookie? I want to send you and Ben some homemade cookies. By the way, that tip you gave me about bully sticks, my dog, I've never seen him lose his mind over something like he did with the bully stick. Our dog Quake loves bully sticks, which are braided bull's penises. Yes, they are. And who doesn't love a braided bull's penis, right? Patreon is a community. It's where we can talk to each other. They can tell me what they loved about the episodes, what they want more of. And not only do you get to be part of the community that is keeping Bawdy going, you also get free live stream tickets. You get the live stream replay, which only lives on Patreon. You get my new interview series with sex positive and kink positive luminaries, and so much more. I love feeling like there is this one place where everything Bawdy can live. If I have stories, if I have videos, if I have things, vintage photos, I have years of photos, and now I have a place to share them. People who have been wanting to come to a live Bawdy for a decade are now on the live stream with me. They're telling me how much they love the stories that they get to hear there, and you can be part of our community too. Thanks so much for considering it, and thanks in advance for your support. It's the end of our time together for this week, but let's say thank you to the people who make this possible. Thank you to podcast producer and live stream technical producer, Marty Garcia. Holy fucking shit. He's amazing. Thank you to video archivist, Joe Moore. Thank you to sound engineer, David Grossoff. Thank you to you. Thank you for telling just one friend this week. Telling one friend about the Bawdy podcast will mean that our listenership will grow, that our fan base will grow. Maybe they'll write me a review on Apple Podcasts. That would make me really excited. But you telling a friend about this podcast means that we get to have these stories together. I want you to be part of this community, and I want your friends to be part of it too. Thanks so much for listening. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Torre. This has been episode 135 of the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. See you next week.